transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the famous musical success, Showboat, starring Gordon McRae and his two charming guest stars, Dorothy Kirsten and Lucille Norman. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical hit is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, tonight the curtain rises on the immortal Jerome Kern Oscar Hammerstein musical play, Showboat, based on the novel of the same name by Edna Ferber.
Cotton Blossom, Captain Andy's Golden Show. Grills and laughter, concert after, everybody's sure to go.
This is the story of Captain Andy's Showboat, the story of the Mississippi and of the river gambler Gaylord Ravenal, the part in which I appear this evening. It is the story of the showboat's leading lady, Julie, played for us by Lucille Norman, and of Captain Andy's beautiful daughter, Magnolia. Our other charming guest for tonight, the lovely soprano of the Metropolitan Opera, Dorothy Kirsten.
There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man that I'd like to be.
I remember it all began the summer I was 17. My father's showboat, the Cotton Blossom, was tied up at the dock at Natchez. I remember it was a warm summer afternoon, and as I stepped down onto the levee, I saw Gaylord Ravenal for the first time and took him to my heart forever. I remember that I said hello as though I'd known him always, and he took off his hat and bowed.
How do you do?
Do you live here?
No, I'm just a wayfarer along the river.
So am I. Which way are you going?
Either way. Which way are you going?
Anywhere Papa gives shows.
Oh? Are you an actress?
No, but I'd give anything if I could be.
Why?
Oh, because you can make believe so many wonderful things that never happen in real life.
But wonderful things do happen. Why, this very day I was standing here in the levee feeling blue. And suddenly I looked up and...
Oh, I have to go now.
Why?
Well, I didn't realize you were talking to me and I don't know you.
Well, if you like to make-believe things, why can't we make-believe we know each other?
All right. We haven't seen each other for 75 years, and you're my long-lost nephew.
Oh, no. I don't think I like the idea of being your nephew. Let's imagine that we've just met.
But we really have.
Yes, but let's just suppose we've fallen in love at first sight.
All right.
The game I'm just supposing is the sweetest game I know. Our dreams are more romantic than the world we see.
And if the things we dream about don't happen to be so, that's just an unimportant technicality.
Of mind in pretending.
Couldn't you?
Couldn't I?
Couldn't we
make believe our lips are blending in a phantom kiss or two or three?
Serious, but you gotta come and have a talk with him.
You'll excuse me, ma'am?
Yes, of course.
I hope I'll see you again.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Search of Julie, the leading lady of the showboat, to tell her what had happened to me.
Julie, I'm in love.
Are you really, honey? Well, who is he?
I don't know. He was standing on the dock, and I came down the gangplank, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there he was. And he looked so different from anybody else I'd ever met in my whole life.
But, honey, suppose he turned out to be a no-count river fella.
Oh, if I found out he was a no-account, I'd stop loving him. Wouldn't you stop loving Steve if he treated you mean?
No, honey. No matter what he did. You see, child, love's a funny thing. There's just no sense to it.
It's like that thing you always sing when we take our walks.
Yes, it certainly is.
Fish gotta swim and burn. Gotta fly. I gotta love one night till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me.
Loving that man of mine. That's the way it was for Julie, and that's the way it was for me. All that night I lay awake in my bunk, listening to the river whispering to itself, wondering if I would ever see Gaylord Ravenel again.
And then came the morning that brought so many changes. Julie and her husband left the showboat, and I was suddenly made the leading lady. And I stood on deck beside my father, listening to him talk to Gaylord Ravenel.
You say you'd like me to give you a bed on my boat tonight on credit?
That's right. I thought, sir, if I could have a bed on your boat tonight, I could pay you my fare tomorrow at Fort Adams. I expect a remittance.
You ever acted?
Acted?
We need a juvenile lead, $15 a week. Can't see the world, no responsibility.
That's what he means, young man.
This is my wife, Barthy, Mr. Ravenel.
I'm happy to meet you, ma'am.
How do? We don't like to pick up actors off the wharves, but we can't be choosy just now.
But, madam, your courtesy is exceeded only by your charm.
My daughter here is going to be the leading woman. This will be her first day at acting, too.
So, you're to have your chance to play at make-believe after all.
Yes.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to miss a chance to be your leading man.
And so, we sailed up the river, into complete enchantment. At night, we did our shows, and I'm sure such love scenes were never seen on any stage before. It was the only time we were sure of being together. All other meetings were stolen meetings behind my mother's back. I remember the last meeting we ever had to steal. I told my mother I'd fill her pitcher, and Gay met me beside the water barrel on the upper deck.
Oh, darling, darling.
I can't stay but a minute. Mother's waiting.
Nola, I want to marry you. Tomorrow, in Greenville.
But Mother would...
She's going to be in Fayette all morning. She told me so herself. Well, there's a lovely little church in Greenville.
Oh, but Father, he's liable
to... He was the one who gave me the idea of marrying you while your mother was away. Oh, Nola, honey, please say you will.
Oh, I want to, Gay.
I can't stand it this way any longer. I want you all to myself. I want to take you to places you've never seen. I want to show you new cities, theaters, restaurants, and people. And you and I will move among them, but I will still feel as if we were all by ourselves.
Oh, Gay. You are love here in my arms, where you
with the second act of Showboat in just a moment. For millions of Americans, fall and football are inseparable. The stirring band music, the crisp autumn air, the big yellow chrysanthemums, they're all part of a colorful picture. But it's precision teamwork that makes football the exciting, entertaining sport that it is. This same sort of teamwork is evident in almost every phase of American life. And when the going is difficult, we work together more closely than ever. Today, this is being forcefully demonstrated on the nation's railroads. As the current national emergency developed, all railroads joined hands in a program designed to meet increasing transportation requirements. Working as one, they first undertook to meet the transportation needs of national defense. And those needs are being met currently and without delay. Teamwork made it all possible. Speedily, and at an ultimate cost of more than $500 million, the railroads placed orders for more than 100,000 new freight cars. At the same time, they have accelerated the repair and rebuilding of the cars on hand and are getting more work from all freight cars by moving them faster over the road and more promptly through the terminals. Playing a prominent part in the success of this operation are more than $4.5 billion worth of improvements installed on the nation's railroads since the close of the Second World War. Meanwhile, shippers and receivers of freight, essential members of the transportation team, are loading cars more heavily, loading and unloading them more promptly, all aimed at getting the most effective use from the cars available. Teamwork like this gets results. For during the last 3 months, railroads moved more than 11 million carloads of freight, nearly 30% more freight than during the same period last year. Yes, we're seeing plenty of teamwork these fall days, teamwork on the gridiron, and in the vitally important business of railroading, which provides the dependable, efficient mass transportation service so essential to the economic well-being and military strength of our nation. And now we return to Gordon McRae in Showboat with his two charming guest stars, Dorothy Kirsten and Lucille Norman.
There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man that I'd like to be.
And so Gaylord Ravenel and I were married. And life was as its springtime. Life was a thing of romance and excitement and adventure. Life was gay. I knew he was a gambler, but it didn't matter. Nothing mattered except that we were together.
Well, dear, I think I'll go out and see if my luck's as good as it was an hour ago.
Oh, Gay, do you think you ought to?
While the cards are running for me, honey, I've got to play them. I'll be back in time to take you out to supper.
All right, darling. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy with you, Gay.
Why do I love you? Why do you love me? Why should there be two happy as we?
Can you see the why or wherefore I should be the one you care for? I'm a lucky boy.
I am lucky too.
Seem to come true. Maybe that's because you love me. Maybe that's why I love you. You're a lucky boy. She is lucky too. All your dreams of joy seem to come true.
Maybe that's because you love me. Maybe that's why I love
you. Why do you love me? How quickly a love song can turn to minor. How quickly a world can be lost when you're holding it by a shoestring. How many years did we actually have? It seems now they passed with such swiftness that it is impossible for the heart to follow them or add them up. I do know that our daughter Kim was 7 the day I walked into an empty, bare little hotel room and found a letter.
Dearest, by the time this letter reaches you, I shall be on a train bound heaven knows where. There is nothing left to pawn and no more friends to borrow from. I am enclosing $200. This will let Kim finish her term at school. Then you can both go to your parents. I'm doing this because I think it is right and because I love you. Please believe I will always love you. Goodbye. Your own Gay.
Oh, Gay! Gay!
That was goodbye. That was how spring and summer ended, with a chill wind blowing across my heart and the knowledge that love was gone and it was autumn. And then the long years set in. I went on the stage and I became successful. And our daughter Kim went on the stage and became even more successful. And as I was able to retire, and it seems to me now, looking back, that I stopped living from the moment that I had that letter to the moment when my father's letter came. And I hurried back to the showboat. And there, standing beside him, was Gay.
Hello, Nola.
Gay, isn't that your daughter, Captain Hawks?
Yeah, that's Nola.
How do? I remember you when you were leading lady on this showboat. And that's your husband, isn't it? I was here on this levee the day you were married. Well, glad to see it turned out well and you're still happy together. Good night.
Good night, dear.
Good night. Nola, there isn't any way to ask you to forgive me.
Now, hold on a minute, Gay. Trouble is, you keep blaming yourself for things, and the fact is, you were just unlucky. The lucky people are the ones that get to do what they enjoy doing. I always enjoyed running a showboat, and I made a success out of it. Now, you was meant to be a gentleman. Big mistake you made was ever to try to earn a living. Nobody ever expected it of you. You was on the right track when you started to be a leading man on the river. You could have got to be a big Broadway actor. And then you wouldn't have had to work anymore.
Andy? Andy?
Parthy's calling me. I guess I better be going.
You know, Captain, I don't understand it. Married all these years, and yet every time she calls, you jump. What is it? What has she got?
She got a mean disposition.
Andy!
I'm coming, Parthy.
Gay, listen. Remember how we used to stand up here listening to them singing below? Oh, Gay, welcome home, my darling. Welcome home.
I'm back to stay. I know now where my home is, sweetheart, and where I belong.
Here we all work on the Mississippi. Here we all work while the white folks play. Pulling those boats from the dawn to sunset, getting no rest till the judgment day. Oh, don't look up and don't look down. You don't dare make the big boss frown. Bend your knees and bow your head and pull that rope until let me go away from the Mississippi. Let me go away from the white man boss. Show me that stream called the River Jordan. That's the old stream that I long to. us know something, but he don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling along.
Oh, that river keeps on rolling along.
He don't plant taters, and he don't plant cotton. And them that plant some is soon forgotten. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. Oh, you and me, we sweat and strain. Bodies all aching and racked with pain. Hold that boss and lift that bale. When you get a little drunk and you land in jail. Now I gets weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and feeling old.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dorothy Kirsten and Lucille Norman will be back in just a moment. And thanks to our supporting cast, Earl Ross and Norma Varden, for their fine performances in Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein's musical play, Showboat, which was based on the novel of the same name by Edna Ferber and adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. The railroads, as we all know, are hauling a greatly increased volume of goods for civilian use and for national defense. In handling this big job, the railroads have had the benefit of the extensive improvements in roadway and equipment which have been made in the past 5 years, and especially the benefit of the fine teamwork that exists between railroads and between railroads and shippers. And now, here are Dorothy Kirsten and Lucille Norman. Well, two beautiful blondes. Dorothy and Lucille, it was great to have you with us on the Railroad Hour tonight. And we're looking forward to having you both back soon. Next week, Miss Eileen Wilson is going to be our guest, and we're doing the wonderful musical Irene.
Oh, wonderful.
See you soon, Gordon.
Bye, kids.
Bye.
All aboard.
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so, until next week, goodbye.
Gordon MacRae will soon be seen, starring in the Warner Brothers production, The West Point Story. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And now, keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
Transcribed.
This is Gordon MacRae again, friends. The telephone hour is next on NBC.